everybody. Welcome to episode 20 of the Alexis Self podcast, which is also a special Christmas edition. And it'll be a look back over the year that's gone, the year in podcasting that we've had, slightly more than a year, I think. And a look to the future. We have, for once, we actually have some podcasts already in the bag, already recorded. We're not like somebody, you know, running out to a petrol station on Christmas Eve looking for a present. We've got stuff for you which will last into the new year. And I'm very pleased about that. We have both physical stuff that we've recorded and also plans for the future. And so that's all very exciting. So I tell her.
Hey, Lex, how do you feel about... do you want to keep this like spoiler free, or are you happy to tell people what we got?
Oh no, I think we should tell people. But also, we're trying to vaguely redress a historical wrong in that I think during the year we made various empty promises that anybody who submitted a request to be my friend would get something special for Christmas. And that really hasn't happened.
That doesn't have to be empty. It's not Christmas yet. We can do that. Yeah, we can figure that out today.
Well, exactly. Yeah, we're gonna try and cobble something together today. Because I'm always there.
So if I remember correctly, your idea I think in March you said this. You were like, keep sending your friendship applications, and then what we'll do is send a special Christmas message to you, like a digital Christmas card. And it will be vague enough that it could include all of you.
Was that it?
Right. Yeah, like it would be vague enough that any of you could feel like it was personally just for you. So maybe we'll go through some emails and friendship applications today. And then at the end of the poddy, this is my thought. We might like, you know, you can have a go at doing a Alexi Sells Christmas message kind of thing.
Like we leave a gap where we go, hey, happy Christmas. And then you could read your name in.
Just the person at home should shout their own name out. Yeah.
Shout their own name out.
That's a really good idea.
Mary or Colin.
Yeah. Mahmoud.
And
Mahmoud is talking to me. Mahmoud, that's me.
Exactly. You know, you're my best friend.
Mahmoud.
Yeah. Me. you know. Actually, I mean, they haven't held up their end of the
What do you mean?
End of the bargain either, because I'm always in desperate need of friends because I have cable companies have what they call churn, you know, where people kind of sign on and then sign off again. So I have a tremendous churn in friends. So I'm always needing new ones really. And
What do you mean? I get inundated. I want to quick. Okay, let me say. I want to say thank you.
Maybe it's me then.
Over the year, thank you to everyone who's messaged us on the Facebook, on Instagram, in the emails, and on the Patreon. Like, I promise you, I read every single email. I do.
Where have they been though? Where have they been when I needed them? When, you know, the chip shop was out of curry. You know, I needed somebody to phone.
We need a home delivery service just for Alexi, made up of an army of Alexi fans who will send urgently needed items to your front door.
Yeah, somebody to talk to, you know. I remember years ago, the purpose of doing publicity is to, is to make yourself look good, really. But I was always much more, I've always given the weirdest interviews to journalists, and I was doing I can't remember what I was. Linda always used to have a word with me before I went out to meet any journalist, and you're not trying to upset them, you're trying to impress them all. So I remember doing an interview with a woman, I think from The Scotsman, and I said to her, I don't know what I was talking about. I said, I'm a really good friend, at least at first, and then the weeping phone calls. The weeping midnight phone call starts, and I've never seen anybody look more uncomfortable. I mean, I was joking, you know, I was joking, but she looked really, really worried, and I don't know whether when the interview came out in The Scotsman, I think it was
depressing.
It was very equivocal. Yeah, I was joking, you know, I was being funny. She wasn't on my You know,
yeah.
She wasn't on my wavelength at all. And I couldn't get it back, you know, having said that really and saying, and then very quickly, you know, so you're saying I'm a very good friend at first, but then the weeping midnight phone call starts. If the person doesn't get it, if you then try and row back on it and say, no, I'm really joking. Well, of course they don't believe that. They believe that the first thing you said was the truth.
And, yeah.
And it was a tremendously uncomfortable interview after that, really.
And you don't come across as like the desperate kind.
I was trying to be funny, really.
Well, you do give good interviews. I got a really nice email from Michael, who came across an LWT documentary from 1987 about comic books entitled South of Watford.
Oh, yeah.
And it included an interview with you about Jeffrey the Tube Train and Jeffrey the Tube Train and the Fat Comedian. And you even do a little book reading.
Yeah, a graphic novel I did, yeah.
And it's you come across really well in that one, but you're
really
But your t-shirt sleeves are really short, and there's like Robin Williams levels of hairy arms.
I had a phase of that kind of chopped off t-shirt look.
Very 87.
It wasn't good though, especially when you got very very hairy arm tops. It stops
just before the elbow, like almost completely.
Yeah.
But you came very genial, very amicable and fun, and you really sold that book.
Yeah. Well, partly that was because the interviewer was John Lloyd, the TV producer, the guy who did, you know, Not 9 o'clock News, Blackadder. Is also always a great supporter of mine. So, I felt comfortable. And Guy Device, QI, and what's that other thing I hate? Have I got news for you?
Oh, yeah. You said, what's that other thing I hate? And then my list, there's a list the length of my arm in my head. Yeah, where would you
start, really? And I saw John Lloyd fairly recently. He said, my favorite comedian.
Oh.
And I said to him, well, why do you never have me on any of your fucking programs then? And he said, you don't want to be on my programs, which was true. So, you know.
He knows. Well, look, man, if you're desperate for the interaction, I'll give you the login for the email. You can have the Facebook login. You can get on there yourself and reply to everyone one by one. You'll spend a few days doing that.
Yeah.
Get on the Instagram. Get Alexi on the Instagram. Okay.
I just like to moan with no consequences, really. I just like to... to bleat, but we'll do this. We'll certainly do this generic.
You cut me off. I do want to finish a point I made about how I'm very great. No, it's absolutely fine. It's your show. If you don't mind, may I please finish the point I was making, Sir Alexi? Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you, everyone who messages in. I do read everything. It's just impossible for me to answer. So if I don't answer you straight away, you know, don't get mad. I honestly sometimes get follow up emails saying, "Did you read my last email?" I'm like, "I did." But I can't respond to every one of you. We do read them. The really nice ones I pass on to Lex. And we're so grateful for all the love and all the messages we're getting. Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you very much. I think that's the end of my point. I just wanted to make that clear. Yeah, I don't want people to think I'm ignoring them.
It's getting a bit like the interview with the journalist and Scotsman, from the Scotsman now. But I also appreciate it. everybody here, you know, it's a community, this, isn't it? And it's a community with a slightly disturbing grandpa at its head, I think, which is me, but it's nevertheless it's a family of sorts, really, and I'm very grateful for everybody who, you know, it's part of the family, really.
Yeah, totes. But totes. I just said totes. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting when you're signing up to the Alexis L podcast, just because you're a fan of Alexis L and his stylings and his comic ways.
That's true.
Yeah, all right, enough sincerity for
now. So what, should we go on to the great things we've got coming up in...
should we do that? Or do you want to start with reflections on our year? Okay, yeah.
I suppose reflections would go better than... and then the great new stuff, wouldn't it, really? Yeah, so let's do reflections on our year first
let's
of all.
Let's work chronologically. Yeah, so how do you feel... it's gone, Alexi.
Good, I think. You know, I'm very pleased. I think it's helped me, evolve a style in a way that I think when I started out, I saw it as being a kind of platform for working up new material. And I think, and so, you know, the first ones were kind of quite tightly scripted and, and I really don't think that that is the purpose of it, really. I think less and less that, obviously, like this, there's no preparation going into it whatsoever. But I think that that's better, really. I think that's the...
That's
what it's for.
Do you think maybe that's because you're new to the medium, or this was something I thrust upon you and you graciously accepted the idea? Maybe those first few episodes was you just kind of self-preservation. It's like, okay, I'm doing something new, I'm going to make sure it's exactly how I want it and it's scripted. And then maybe as it went on, you realized more and more what the format demands, or you put more trust in your producer, or
all that.
Yeah,
well, I think, I mean, if it is, I mean, in a sense, there is occasionally, if anybody's, you know, interested in comedy, there is also kind of buried clues for how I think you should you know, evolve as a performer, really. And you know, that you shouldn't, you know, one of the things is to be flexible, you know. And it's also that you could make a kind of martial arts parallel as well, that you kind of bend with the wind, that you know, you adapt rather than having set ideas, you adapt to the medium, really. And I think that that's what I've tried to do.
Be water. You've become water.
Yes, exactly.
This podcast is the jug.
I mean, that's the most. If you wanted to be a kind of fake Sifu, that would be one of the things. First of all, you'd say, I think the first thing you'd say was, you know, martial arts, the first thing you need to do is run, you know, and you'd advise all your clients to, you know, to run away from a fight.
Uh-huh.
Because that would have two purposes. One, it would get them out of trouble, and also it seemed profound. And also, of course, it would. If you're teaching them, you know, if your teaching isn't very effective in a self-defense, you wouldn't know because they'll run away. But be water is the other Sifu thing you could say, isn't it? Yeah. Really?
Okay. And what about?
So in a general sense, you know, it's been a voyage for me of discovery.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. And what about? Highlights, is that a good question? Give me some highlights.
Yeah,
of year
sure. Well, I think I liked the interview with Professor Preston, I think, because that was really something different for me. He was very good, and he was very good on the Spanish Civil War. He's less good on anarchism.
Yeah,
anarchy, which I thought he'd be more informative about, really. But at some point, I think we should probably go back through the alphabet and there's a couple of people said, let's get a real anarchist to talk about anarchism, might be better. But no, I really enjoyed that. And then I had an amazing barbecue in his garden afterwards. I mean, incredible. His son was an extraordinary chef, so that was nice as well.
Wow.
Free food is always free food. And then the bike rides, of course. I mean, the highlight of my life almost came via this podcast, because it was when I, through doing the bike rides, and then Ned Bolting and then Chris Boardman got in touch, and I went and did commentary on this year's Tour de France. That was like the most, you know, that was literally that was one of the greatest events of my life, really.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, and that's obviously that came, and hopefully, I haven't really spoken to them for a while, but hopefully next year I will go to France one day and do a day with them at the finish line where they usually are.
Oh, my God.
Say hello to Ned.
Fingers crossed. Everyone out there, make sure you tweet at Ned as well and let him know.
That's a good idea.
Start a campaign.
Hashtag
Alexi at the finish line.
And all the political stuff, really. I can't claim, and you should never think that you've got any political influence, really. But, you know, certainly to a degree. I mean, we wander off in other weird directions, but you know, to be able to occasionally articulate the pain and the rage and the
Yeah.
Other more positive feelings that the people on the left have is, you know, for it, for this podcast in a way to give some sort of focus to that. I think is also I found that satisfying in a way. I mean, it's obviously the situation of the left is. I mean, it's something, you know, who are you as some, you know, somebody like me is on the left, you know, what is the best, you know, the best strategy for the left going forward, comrade, you know, is a constant debate, really. And incidentally, I'm there's a guy, Chris Williamson, the ex-MP, who is somebody who I admire. I think he's got a book out called 10 Years, or he will have a book out called 10 Years of Hard Labour, which is about the last 10 years of the struggle in the Labour Party. And I'm going to write a blurb.
Wow.
On the back or the front of the book.
Wicked.
And I recommend
it. Get him on the show.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yes, it is a good idea.
Yeah. I never think of doing that. Yeah. He's a very,
We need to get Sting on the show.
Sting, yeah.
Penn and Teller would be great if you still have their number in your phone book.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz. Actually, I did a...
Christoph Waltz. Yes. Yeah. And Peter...
Peter Capaldi. Actually, I did a director's commentary kind of thing. My episode of Doctor Who is being broadcast on... Or is being... released on Blu-ray as a special limited edition. And so last week I did, using this very microphone, I did a kind of a director's commentary thing. Me and Nicola Bryant, who played the Doctor's assistant in that episode of Doctor Who. And that's coming. I don't know when that's coming out, but it was very nice. She was very nice.
And I've getting a lot of correspondence agreeing with me that it would be great to do a reaction video, which is basically a commentary track about some young ones' episodes.
This was obviously just audio, but it, you know, me and Nicola watched our scenes in Doctor Who as we did the commentary, Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that with Lisa. I'm sure she'd be happy to do it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be incredible. We'd do it with video. We put it on YouTube.
I'm probably getting that.
So those first few episodes that were really tightly scripted, I think they were really strong. It's not that the podcast has like... evolved. It's changed, but like those were really strong when you came in with like those really it made my life easy, and like it made me I felt really good just watching you kind of recite these things you'd written over the week, and they were really punchy and strong opinions about current politics, and it really incited a big reaction from our listeners. But whether they agreed or with you or not, a lot of people just really enjoyed hearing those thoughts said. And of course all of that road culminated with getting the big jazz man on the show himself, which was probably my highlight of the year. It was like actually getting him in the room with us and fawning a little bit, but also I don't know, hopefully we'd get him back sometime and then get a bit tougher with him. But it was just, I was just so ecstatic being in a room with him after years of all the journey we've been on with this guy, you know.
Yes, I should have quoted that myself, shouldn't I? So, I was goofy for days afterwards.
Wonderful stuff. Lowlights. This is a good time to get it out. If there's anything you hate about the show, it's a good time. Tell me if you want any lowlights from the show.
I don't think so. Well, the Saul Williams episode is, you know, is our lowest, as our lowest grossing episode. But that was, you know, it's probably a thing, you know, just having somebody on because they look gorgeous on a podcast is it's pretty stupid, isn't it? Really, and you know, I think it's really, you know, really interesting what he said, but I think we'd perhaps wandered too far away from our demographic.
It wasn't our wheelhouse, but.
No.
I think it was a nice. It was part of the Alexis Sale canon, the cinematic universe, because we told a story about him and then we got him on the show. And I was like, well, just for that alone, it's worth it.
You try to, you know, it's not. I mean, you know, the nice thing about this is it's not high risk. You know, it's a place where you can experiment and do, you know, you go from tightly scripted to just go and just talk to interviews. And I mean, that's the point of it, isn't it? That's, I realize, you know, I mean, I can't at the moment. I'm working on a radio series, which, if it works, will be absolutely fantastic, really. But, you know, I can't, you know, that requires masses of work in a way.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah. No, it'll be, you know, if it works, it will be really something very different. But this is, you know, but that's tremendous. I mean, we did the pilot over 2 days a couple of weeks ago, and then when I got back from doing the part, I had to go to bed for like 12 hours because I was so drained. You know, this is, you know, you're much freer with this, and I think that's the point of it.
Probably. Yeah, no one reviews podcasts. There's no,
no,
and yeah, it's very low stakes because we're not putting, in terms of like money, we're not putting much into this at all. Pretty much, it's all actually. Thank you very much to the listeners. It's,
oh,
practically,
yeah,
all self-funded by the Patreon now.
Oh, that's, I mean, I liked that stage in our, you know, when I would constantly moan about how much it was costing me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to lose that comedy thread, really. I mean, I remember I do love that, whatever comment that was that I read on about, you know, it's not, Lexi, stop going on about how much it's costing you. It's not classy. You know, I think, well, fuck you.
You pay for it.
I'm paying for it. But now I'm not, so I can stop.
Well, it might run out again. You know, it's always on the brink.
Isn't it? Like, it's like Lisa Mayer found out that she was paying her membership for a club called Zanzibar 5 years after it had burnt down. And so I think that if people keep...
Oh my God.
Isn't it like Patreon, the same thing that people may find in like their relatives in 200 years...
still paying.
On Moon Colony 5 are still paying for the Alexis Sale podcast.
After,
that's my hope. Long after it's Alexis.
And long after I remember to take the money out of the Patreon account. So I'll just randomly go on Patreon when I go, oh my God, there's £100,000 here.
Yeah.
Plus inflation.
There's a H.G. Wells novel called The Sleeper Awakes, which for some reason a guy, I can't remember why, is put into a coma in the Victorian era and wakes in the distant future. And because he's got investments, his investments have accrued so much that he's the richest man on the planet by a long way. And I can't remember what happens after that. I should maybe revisit it. But...
people are doing that these days with bloody cryptocurrency. They're like buying some and then forgetting about it, and then 5 years later, they're learning that they've earned £250.
Yeah. Well, I know a guy. He's got all this cryptocurrency. A new guy on various hard drives, but he's forgotten the passwords for the hard drive. So there's all this theoretical money. Anyway, but I'm hoping that maybe the Patreon account, this Patreon account, will be like that. That it will accrue until it becomes you know, a massively powerful
financial. And if you want to contribute to our future
wealth and happiness,
yes, please go to patreon.com/AlexisSale podcast and you know, drop a few quid our way. It goes towards making all these wonderful products we make, the long gaps of silence.
Yeah, and in fact, we are going to incur some further expenses, aren't we? Because we're going to, if we can seamlessly shift to
our future
output, we're going to have to go to Weymouth. We're going to have to buy two standard class tickets to Weymouth and a night in a Well,
the
first
fuck?
Class. All
Come
right.
on, man.
Well, I've got my senior citizen drug. You can go in. You can, you know, it's like, who was the, you know, it's the star who travels, you know, the star travels in
Corden.
First class and his kids are
James
back.
Corden.
Yeah, James Corden, that famous story about it. All kids and the wife and that are back in economy, aren't they? So maybe you can travel in economy and I'll be in first class with my senior citizen rail car.
Just sit in a toilet.
Anyway,
yes, future plans. Great segue.
Yeah. So we're going to go to Weymouth and we're going to do a, we'll do a bike ride around Weymouth, but also we're going. I made that remark at some point during the year about how Monkey World and the Bovington Tank Museum are next to each other, and then I fantasized about how what I would really like to see is monkeys driving tanks.
Mm-hmm.
This somehow, I don't know, I think it's something you did, led to an invitation from the Tank Museum to come down there and do a podcast from the inside of a tank or with the guy, you know, one of their people.
Well, I owe massive thanks to John in the emails for literally after we mentioned that, emailed us and said he knows someone at the Tank Museum and made a connection for us. So
right.
It was something I was wanting to do anyway, but
yeah,
I'm so grateful for that. Incredible.
Yeah. So we'll go down, we'll do a podcast in the Tank Museum. They also want me, I think, for their video chance to do my top five.
Yes. Did you watch
tanks?
It? Did you watch the one I sent you?
I watched the Al Murray one, yeah.
It's such good production. It makes our YouTube look like shit. I was so upset by that.
Well, they've got, you know, it's the Tank Museum. They've got,
they've,
you know,
got money, got, man.
They got, of course they got money. They got, you know, all the arms industry behind
them. Okay. Yeah, so they
know.
Make
it's,
these really...
Maybe that's a calumny. They'll withdraw their offer now.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Linda was, I was having dinner last night and... Linda said, you've gone quiet. What are you thinking about? I said, obviously my top five fucking tanks. That's what I'm thinking about. I've thought about nothing since.
Yes.
And just to give you some in, you know, I'm just going to tease you with my top five tanks. I'm going to say, I'm going to do completely different ones to Al Murray because fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say Miranda 2. Yeah, you heard me.
Oh, she's doing a second series.
No, Miranda 2 is a British tank of the Second World War.
Yes, I guessed.
I know, it's a good joke, that, wasn't it? I'm sorry, I stood on your gag there. It's a good gag.
Okay, I'm so looking forward to this. Because they film it so beautifully. They've got wonderful cameras and editors.
Yeah, watching it for us.
Team. Well, they get hundreds of thousands of views on their YouTube videos, so that's good. Maybe you can squeeze in. You can maybe at the beginning of it be like, "We're here doing an episode of our podcast, and I'm going to do a top five." You know, if you can squeeze in a plug for the podcast.
Pollination, yeah. Do you think Al Murray did it for nothing? He didn't get paid, did he? He was like,
I think he probably got to ride around in tanks or something. I'm not sure if they paid him. No, actually, I think. No, you might be upset by this, but I think he's done a similar thing to what he has a podcast all about World War II or wars or something like that.
Yeah, some sort of military thing. Yeah.
So maybe he's done a similar thing as to what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, the cross-fertilization.
But don't let that put you off because there's nothing I want more than to climb inside a tank with you and record a 10-minute segment of a podcast from inside a tank. That, like, the acoustics in there are going to be great.
I'm you know, they need to know that I'm not going to be, I'm going to talk about the ambiguous name in case anybody's worried. And Linda was worried a bit last night. You know, I have to talk about the, you know, the ambiguous nature of tanks and all military, you know, equipment. Mm-hmm. They are also, instruments of class oppression.
Yes.
And I will raise that in my bit. I don't know how the Tank Museum will feel about this, but you know, you can't, you know, one, my fascination with militaria is not, also includes the understanding that they are, in a sense, profoundly evil things.
It is weird. It is kind of a conflicting aspect of your personality. Mm. And yeah, remember when we did the Hollow Point episode that people were like grossed out by you talking about bullets. But like, just know, Alexei's not pro-murder.
Yeah,
and
I'm not. No.
And these tanks are in a museum. That's kind of apt as well. They're not fucking... active battle battleground.
No.
Look at this great fucking thing. It just blew up a village.
I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully we'll combo it and do like... So the dream is we do most of the podcast in the Tank Museum, just kind of walking around, maybe with a tour guide, talking about tanks. And then we get inside of a tank for a bit. And then the end of the podcast, suddenly we're in Monkey World and there are like monkeys in the background and we're doing like the final segment of the show or something.
That's perfectly possible. Yeah.
We're going to do a coastal bike ride down there as well.
Yep.
Although the GoPro has been giving me fucking such a headache recently. It's been playing up. So
yes, well, we'd say we've got some, one of the things we got in our can is, in the can is a bike ride of Letchworth, Garden City, isn't it? With a guide, which we tried for the first time.
Yeah.
Not entirely successfully, and we also lost half an hour of footage.
There's some audio issues and
gear. I think we've got enough to salvage like at least one.
Probably. Yeah, I've got to stitch together like a Frankenstein bike ride.
Yeah, so we got that. Also, and just to go the other, complete flip the other way from the talking about the Tank Museum, we have got an issue which we've already recorded. We recorded the interview, but also I want to record a preamble, which is about
podcast episode. You mean
the podcast episode, which is about partly about how I have been spied on by the forces of the state throughout my life, more or less. But also we've got an interview with Helen Steele, who was one of the women who's involved in the inquiry into this. She was MacLibel. She's also involved in the inquiry that, you know, where police officers, special branch officers, were embedded in left-wing organizations, started relationships with women in those organizations. And
got married and impregnated women.
And it's about, you know, it's not just about, it's obviously individual stories, but it's also about the degree to which the state, you know, sabotages a progressive, you know, left-wing movements for its own evil purposes, really. And, you know, I have personally, you know, it starts with a letter to me from a solicitor who's discovered my own special branch file. So,
No, and there's a Keir Starmer element to the story as well.
Yeah.
It's one of our cheerier episodes, I would say. Dark shit. So that's, and that might just be part one of the Spy Cop saga podcast.
Yeah, we could follow that up, I think.
I think there's also, what do you think about, you know how like The Young Ones was I think a great hit with our listeners, The Young Ones episode. Mm-hmm. So I think a good thing to think about in the new year is also, because it's kind of easy for you to do as well, like retrospectives on elements of your career. We did, the fantastic
Rennick and Marshall
episode. That was episode two, wasn't it?
It feels like 1,000 years ago. Yes, how long was that?
Roughly 1,000 years.
This year?
It was about 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, feels like it.
No, I think it was this time last year. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got no idea when it was.
It was... We were deep into lockdown. Right. Who the fuck knows, man? Time all just blurs together.
Yeah, mate. It's true.
But that was really nice. So yeah, some stuff like that. I don't know. So like I said before, getting Sting on to talk about, just exclusively talking about The Bride, the whole episode. That would be hilarious. I know my brother keeps asking me to ask you about Hello John Got a New Motor. He's one of his.
Yeah.
He's got that on vinyl, an original pressing of it.
That's £34. Yeah.
And he wants you to sign it. And I got an email about something you did about fish people. Where is it? And he actually stole the record in the 80s and he feels bad for it. But he still cherishes it. But I think he contributes to the Patreon now to make up for it.
No, fair enough. All crimes can be absolved by contributing. If you've committed any crime up to, I don't know, motion offences, you know, non-lethal theft, you know, victimless crime, but, you know, crimes. If you've, if like, you know, what, you know, Martin Luther was Protestantism essentially came about because the Roman Catholic Church was selling absolutions, you know, indulgences where you could basically buy your way into heaven. But similarly, if you have committed a minor crime, if you contribute to the Patreon account, you will be absolved.
Yeah.
You will be absolved.
What is pain crime, without pleasure? Morally. What is crime without redemption?
Yeah.
What is sin without atonement? They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
The important thing is that you do atone and fucking contribute to the Patreon. So that was Emmett who emailed in about his life of crime. That's from the Island Records days.
I'll tell you who you could maybe reach out to. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. But also, when I had my failed disastrous attempt to be in a sitcom in the United States, my co-star in the second episode was Bobcat Goldthwait.
Are you still friends with Bobcat?
No, I haven't seen him for a while. But if you could maybe reach out to Bobcat then, because I was just watching, somebody sent me a film of his called, I can't remember, Road Trip or something, with him in another comedian. I just thought it's so lovely that it would be fantastic.
He is an incredible filmmaker. I'm a massive fan of Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay.
And he made one of my favorite films with Robin Williams, which is called Fuck.
No, because he's very close to Robin. That's how.
Yeah.
You know, we spent time together, me and Robin and Bobcat.
And I think it's called World's Greatest Dad. And it's have you ever seen World's Greatest Dad?
No, I've read about it, never got around to seeing it. It sounds fantastic.
Incredible, Alexei. Bobcat's incredible. Bobcat Goldthwait. Okay, I will do my thing.
Can you reach out to him? He gave me an amazing present. There's an outsider artist called Roy Finster. He did like a Talking Heads cover. And I remember Bobcat bought me it was my 40th birthday when I was making Golden Palace. In fact, they fired me actually on my 40th birthday.
Oh, damn.
And Bobcat Goldthwait gave me this Roy Finster kind of painting.
Wow. You still have it?
Yeah. Somewhere.
And was that the last time you spoke to him?
Well, the last time was, I think he's probably changed since that. At the time, he was married to a woman who was a Teamster. She was a truck driver on movie sets. And then a few years later, I got a phone call from this woman, said, this is probably like in the night, says, how's that, Alexei Sale? And he said, oh, hi, I'm, I can't remember his wife's name, but say Amelia. I'm Amelia Goldthwait's address book updater. And so she was a professional address book updater. This was in the days before
fucking
digital
Hollywood.
Media.
That
yeah,
so
and she said, I'm just confirming that you are at the same address, blah, 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 you know, postcode, you know, phone number, yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm updating Amelia Goldthwait's address book, and I'm just confirming that you're at the same address.
Holy shit. Yeah. Okay.
So that was the last time I had contact with any member of the Goldthwait clan. I assume he's not. He mentions a girlfriend in the movie, and I assume it's not the same one. Maybe
so that's a documentary, the Road Trip one you mentioned.
It's a kind of mixture of documentary and stand-up, really. It's about him and another guy called Dana Gold, American comedian. Yeah. I don't really know very well Dana Gold. And they're kind of it's them doing kind of performances together in small clubs, but it's also there's a lot of footage of them just driving and talking, and it's really fascinating. I mean, I didn't get to know.
If you're
Bobcat
not familiar at home who he is, basically he was the guy on Police Academy. He made his name and fortune in Police Academy films. You know, he was talking like this, like crazy character. When he was on Golden Palace, was he still doing that character? Was he still in that
think
era
so,
of his
yeah,
life?
I can't remember. I've kind of blotted a lot of that out because of it's so traumatic. But
oh, okay. Well, then,
I think he was still doing that voice.
He
yeah.
must have been. And then at one point, he was a stand-up comedian also in that character. That was just kind of his stage persona. And then one day he just killed that persona, and now he just talks normally. And he still does stand-up and makes films. And he's a real fucking legend. All right, we'll talk about Bobcat.
Well, yeah, if you can reach out to, I think that'd be amazing.
If you send me any contact details you might have.
I don't have any.
Okay.
I don't have his address. Facebook update his address. I didn't perform the reverse service, but I'm sure we can reach out to him.
And Island Records days, like Hello John, Didn't You Kill My Brother, mm-hmm. Fish People. Be cool to do a kind of retrospective on those days. People want to know how Hello John Got a New Motor came about.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
I do have, you know, there is still my current work. Let's not just focus on the past.
Well, of course.
There's my, you know, my design for a bike light. I don't know.
The apocalyptic shotgun bike design.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still relevant.
Patent pending. Of course, but, you know.
It's a funny, and there's a bit in this Bobcat thing where they're talking about the internet and people, he thinks people, you know, when they say, you know, unfollow, and he thinks he's going to be upset, he says, look, you know, I used to play arenas. They're in this tiny little club. I'm not going to be upset. You know, I've been unfollowed by hundreds of thousands of people, literally.
In the real world. Brilliant.
It's a very funny film. It's very funny.
What's that called? We didn't actually say.
I think it's called Joyride, is it?
Yes, it's called Joyride. I think that's a funny thing that you say that, because your current work includes this podcast. And some segments of this podcast include talking about your historic work.
I know. I'm just
so that's
I'm
a funny little kind of prism of what is current, what's not current, where are we, what year is this, who's the president, kind of situation.
Yeah.
Anything that we've left out on what we're planning in the future?
Well, I can talk about. Did I talk about the Mandy series that I'm in? Because there's a very Mandy Christmas actually on tonight. It will be.
Oh wow! You
know, with Diane Morgan.
Yeah, she's excellent. Oh, we'd have to get her
fantastic.
On the show.
Fantastic.
We need to get her on the show.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah,
a current legend. She's fantastic. I love her.
Yeah. So see, I'm still relevant. So
of course you are. No one says you're not.
The voice in the back of my head that tells me to burn down orphanages. He says I'm not
tell
relevant.
Him to fuck off. Yes, so you're in the Christmas episode of Mandy as well?
No, I'm not in the Christmas episode. I'm in the new series.
Okay.
I'm not in it. I'm in the new series.
Is that out yet?
That goes out. No, I think it'll be out in the new year.
Wicked. Yeah, you were filming that very recently. We had to schedule the podcast around your filming of that.
That's right.
That's really exciting, and I'm really happy to hear that. You're playing
she's great.
Her uncle
or
something?
No, I'm just a man who employs her in a sewage works.
Oh, nice.
But Tom Courtney is also in my episode as Sir Tom Courtney. No, she's great. I mean, I think she's really... very confident talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, Alexei.
Merry Christmas, Talal.
This is, of course, we haven't mentioned Christmas once. I think, before we get some emails, we're sending this out to you on Christmas Day, if everything goes to plan. So, you know, obviously, you're going to do a nice Christmas message at the end of the episode. But like, are you cool with doing that?
I don't know. I thought I was just going to try and give something to all these people.
Yes.
We promised. What am I going to say?
It's going to be Christmas. It's like it's Alexei's Christmas message.
Shouldn't we do some emails and mention some people?
We will, I'll go through some emails. Mm-hmm. But I just want to quickly ask you a couple Christmas things, if that's all right.
Okay, all right, yeah.
How do you feel about Christmas?
Better than I used to, I think, probably.
Do you celebrate Hanukkah?
No, no.
You not put a menorah up and stuff?
None of that stuff, really, no.
Do you have a Christmas tree?
We never did because my parents were... Well, there's a bit in... actually, I do. I can kind of, yeah. We've got Yeah, I've got a Christmas tree that my niece gave us, like a live tree, like a little tree. Mm-hmm. And it's, I can see it from here. I've put lights on it, and it's out, it's on the patio.
Nice.
And it looks lovely, yeah. But no, I do, you know, there's a bit in my memoir, second volume, I think, about, was it the first one? Just about how, given that we were half Jewish, atheist, communists, Christmas was a surprisingly important occasion in our house. And my mother was completely psycho about Christmas, even though, you know, and there was that, we used to have this tradition, as I say in the book, about shouting at the Queen's speech on the television, you know, liar, parasite, parasite. That was the big, that was the high point of Christmas. But no, it was very, and Linda, because me and Linda, you know, from very close, she's about, her family was about half a mile away from mine. Neither of the parents were back down about Christmas dinner, so I used to have to eat two Christmas dinners.
Whoa.
For many years. So, you know, so it's better than it used to be. Yeah, it's all right.
Okay, it's all right. Okay. What do you want for Christmas, young man? What would you like? What do you want for Christmas if Santa's to bring you anything this year? Well, what does Alexi, you know, want? What's missing in your life?
Well, I'd like, you know, there's this, it would be, I wouldn't really like anybody, you know, if somebody could smuggle me in a Glock 9mm, Glock 17 9mm, that is, I would, you know, I would be attending. You know, if you could just do that little thing for me. Yeah, I know it's, you know, it's like 25 years in prison, but I mean, I'd be, you know, if you could, yeah, you know, not necessarily a Glock, anything. Yeah,
festive gift, little boy, or something that brings joy. Come on.
Sig, yeah. Wow. Some automatic handgun would be top of my list. I have to be honest.
Okay. You hear that, Santa? All right.
Haven't I ever raised that possibility before?
New Year. I'm doing the cheesy ones. Come on, what are going to be your New Year resolutions?
Well, I always say, you know, my New Year's resolution is United Nations Resolution 242, which is a homeland for the Palestinian people. So I'll stick with that one, really. The other the other thing that I made a few years ago was to wave at more people. And I do occasionally still stick to that. I will wave at a tourist bus or a passing train.
Oh.
At random, really.
It's a nice thing to do, waving.
Yeah, it is. Don't wave at those, you know, those vans that ship prisoners to and from the courts. It's a G4S van.
Yeah, they're not having the best.
Don't wave at them because you get some of this shout. Even though they're supposed to be soundproof, you can hear some very unpleasant things coming back out of them.
It's really hard not to wave at a boat when you see a boat go by.
Yes, I've been on a couple of river cruises. I will always wave enthusiastically at the other.
You've got a good wave, I imagine.
It's all right.
You've got strong arms, big hands, quite tall.
Yeah.
Expressive face. I reckon you've got a good wave on you. I don't think I've seen you wave.
Thank you.
Hmm.
Well, maybe
give me a
we
wave
can record
now. It's a good wave.
That's disappointing.
It was more subdued than I imagined.
I think waving is maybe one of those things that has to happen spontaneously, and then it's got a kind of belief in it. You know, that I think if you try and fake it, it doesn't work.
It's like smiling.
Spontaneous.
Like a fake smile.
Like smiling, exactly, yeah. It's got to be spontaneous.
It's such a weird thing to do when you think about it. Waving.
It is, really, yeah.
At someone.
But, I do. I will, not all the time, but I will, you know, confusingly wave at, you know, passing tourist bus or...
Okay. So... homeland for Palestine and wave more. Okay, cool. Good resolutions. Yeah. I think I'm out of Christmas questions. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everyone listening.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
And one more. Something I want to, before we go into letters, about this year in podcasting, I'm very grateful for Anthony Overton, who's jumped onto the team and now engineers all of our episodes. So you might notice the first chunk of Alexis Hell podcast episodes, the sound quality isn't quite up to scratch. And now I think we have a professional sound. That's all thanks to Anthony Overton. So big up, Anthony. And he's got COVID at the moment. So,
oh, lo siento. I'm sorry to hear that.
But it means he's stuck at home and he has lots of time to edit, to make this show nice
swings and roundabouts
and beefy before Christmas. I hope you get well soon. And I hope you recover. He said he's not really got any symptoms. He's just, but he works on this show, so he must have lost his lack of taste a long time ago. All right. I've sprinkled some emails in throughout the episode. But just shouting out to friendship. So over the year, we've had over 100 friendship requests. I'm going to do kind of quick fire. I'm going to throw quick fire friends at you. Okay. You were fawning for more friends at the beginning of this session.
Yeah.
Okay, so Emmett's a new friend of yours.
Yeah.
All right, Neil.
Are these that's obviously the biggest friends, the best friends are those who, contribute to the Patreon accounts. I used to say to my old agent Cassie Mayer, actually Lisa's sister. I used to say, I love you, Cassie, but you, because you're my paid friend. Because she was getting she had to be my friend. She had to be nice to me because she was my agent. And I sort of believe that a bit, really, that, you know, paid friends are the best friends in some ways.
But then patrons pay you.
Yeah, yeah, well,
oh, yeah. Then best paid friend.
I don't know. I've lost the thread. I think this has got a bit.
You've never told me you love me.
Yeah, it's difficult now. I do love you.
Thank you, Dad. I mean, Alexi. I love you too. And thank you for taking me on this ride with you, honestly.
Thank you for enabling me.
I got you on the Tour de France, baby.
Exactly, yeah. And you got me. And in a room with Jeremy Corbyn.
Oh, mate, yes. Here's to many more, right? Cheers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many more years of cheers. Yeah. All right, Neil. I mentioned Neil. I don't like saying people's surnames on the show. Fellow socialist. Oh, I like this guy, Patrick. He said he's a fellow member of the arts because he drives a van and delivers artworks for galleries in London. And he's a fellow socialist because he overcharges the capitalist bastard galleries and gives to his local shops. So thank you, Patrick. Andy in Hull wants to be your friend. Sean was so cool. She didn't want to, she couldn't for some reason or other contribute to the Patreon. So she just sent me cash directly. That was amazing. And then I whacked it in the Patreon. So thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
You're a legend. Mark wants to be your friend and he stepped in some poo, in dog poo this morning. His best friend was his dog, but he walked through some of his poo this morning. So he's lost his best friend. Okay. And so he wants you now. Keefe loves the bike rides. I'm looking for ones with pets because we get some nice ones with pets. I'm just saying names now. This isn't great.
It was nice because I talked about Wilf on Sandwich Bar, but also it was nice that somebody noticed when Jeremy was here, wasn't he? He was squawking a lot.
Yeah. That was so good.
And somebody said it's nice that Wilf's still around, which he is. He's still around. That's my cat.
Going strong. I like it when animals get involved. You nearly got eaten by a dog with Lisa.
Yes, but I like that. At least the Lisa podcast ends with Iris trying to bite my face.
Speaking of Wilf, Emma and her cat Dolly Purton wants to be you and Wilf's friend.
Okay.
So thank you, Pete. And there's one more. Oh, here we go. This is an email from a cat. My name's Freddie Marcel. I'm a tuxedo rescue cat. I'm about 13 years old and 6 months ago had to get my front leg amputated after sarcoma. Mm-hmm. I've had a hell of a year and being your friend would really cheer me up.
You will be my, you can be my friend. I like a tuxedo cat. They're lovely.
Yeah.
We had, well, Dexter fancy. Was our first.
Your first cat?
Linda's first love. Well, not exactly our first cat, but it's certainly the creature more than me that Linda loved the most was a tomcat called Dexter.
Oh.
Who I always mean to write about. And who will, if I ever get around to doing the third volume of memoir, will feature prominently.
So that was your cat in like the 80s, 90s?
Yeah.
So that's the cat my family would have known when we were little?
Yeah, 88. So 88, when we moved to Downsy Street, so 88 was when we got Dexter. Via Lisa, in fact, as well.
Oh, my God. It's all so in the family. And Stuart makes a special mention of the music on the show by Tarbush Records, basically by my brother. Thank you, Ahmed, my big brother, and Merry Christmas to you. And thank you for all the great music he's given us. And I'm trying to squeeze him for some new songs for the new year. So hopefully we'll get some new tunes in our repertoire. Okay, I could just keep going saying names, but you get the picture. Charlie Miller, thank you. David Campbell. You have so many friends, Alexi. I'd never want you to feel lonely again. They're from New Zealand. They're from Australia. They're from America. We've got like proper people in the sticks in America, like in buttfuck nowhere, riding their pickup truck through the desert listening to this show. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. It's remarkable.
They love when you talk about guns.
Well, why? I mean, because they don't take anything for that. Well, there's that guy who emails sometimes, isn't it? There was a guy in, I think he emails sometimes, and he sent some photos of his. He was the one who said, because we had a debate about this, is you can tune out people that this repels, but he was in 40 cal versus 9mm, wasn't he? He contributed to that. And then he sent some footage of him shooting an SKS, which, and tell him, I've never seen an SKS with a long magazine like that before.
Oh,
that's entirely for the gun nuts out there.
Oh, Chilean. There's a Chilean in Australia called Tristan who wants to say Tristan. Hi to Senor Pato. He sends his regards, Senor Pato.
Senor Duck. Actually, interesting. We did an important day because in Chile itself, a left winger has just become president, and we will see how that goes. Really, how the United States sets about destroying that democracy, but at the moment, at least, adelante los radicales en Chile, felicidades.
Feliz Navidad. And finally, there's a half-Jewish communist from Birmingham called William, whose mum knew your mum. They used to come around your house, Jackie Atkin, rest in peace.
Sounds familiar, I'll be surprised.
I'd never want you to be lonely again, Alexi. You have at least 113 friends, according to my records here, and I'm sure you have more. And me, 114.
Again, until the weeping midnight phone calls start.
I don't know how to make that segment exciting apart from just reading the names out. But much appreciated.
Well, we should,
what do we want to do about these guys?
Let's do that with the gap then. Should we do that? And then people can kind of, they'll have that, won't they? And then they can put it on their answering machines and stuff like that. If I do Happy Christmas, Gap, You're My Best Friend, Gap, I Love You, and then they can shout their own names.
Yeah, and like don't limit it to just their name. How about this for a pitch? So like you can say like, I love the way you...
Oh, right.
And thank you so much for that time that you... And then whenever you hear it, it's just like Mad Libs, you at home, play along at home. Mm. If you're at home, so whenever you hear a gap, you just scream out something personal about yourself.
Yeah.
And just imagine that that's Alexi saying that to you.
Yeah.
Say it in like a really frustrating...
I mean, it won't be my... I mean, the other thing I could do is, no, I mean, I'd have to do every name under the sun and every activity.
Nah, because let's be realistic.
Can't do that, yeah.
I considered this morning emailing you a list of 113 names. I actually thought of this, and I thought better of it. I thought, he's not going to want to do this.
Yeah, no. Hi there, this is Alexi Sale. Hey, you're my best friend. One of the things I really like about you is the way that you... And also you... And hey, remember that time when we went to... And we did... So Merry Christmas, mate. And see you in... 2022 at that place where we go to do that thing. Happy Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year. See you in the new year for all those things that we talked about. Bye. You've been listening to the Alexi Sale podcast, produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarbush Records. The show is engineered by Anthony Overton. And thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, have a new year.